You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're talking with a historian who has studied presidential elections for decades and is known for predicting the winner of presidential elections by asking 13 key questions. And his prediction is in for November. Who do you think is going to win the presidential election and why? What issues will matter most to voters this November? How much trust do you have in poll numbers? We're at 800-642-1234. Alan Lichtman is a distinguished professor of history at American University, and he's successfully predicted every presidential election since 1984, including President Trump's surprise victory in 2016. Alan, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much.
Well, let's cut to the chase. Who are you predicting is going to win in November?
Well, based upon my 13 keys to the White House, which gauge the strength and performance of the party holding the White House, it takes 6 negative keys to predict their defeat. That would be Donald Trump and the Republicans. And late 2019, Donald Trump only had 4 negative keys, but his failed response to the many crises that have arisen in 2020 have resulted in the most sudden and dramatic reversal of fortune in the history of the United States. In a matter of a few months, 3 more keys have turned against the incumbent Donald Trump. With 7 negative keys against him, Trump is a predicted loser in his bid for re-election in November.
Explain how you see your keys as it's governing and not the campaigning that counts to flip this a key from true to false.
Exactly. The keys are based upon the insight that American presidential elections are primarily votes up or down on how well the party holding the White House has governed. Speeches, debates, ads, the tricks of the campaign, fundraising, all these conventional measures have virtually no impact on the outcome of the election. The keys tell you to keep your eye on the big picture of incumbent party strength and performance. So they look at things like midterm elections, a midterm referendum on the incumbent president, third parties, long and short-term economy, scandal, social unrest, policy change, foreign policy successes and failures. And only 2 keys have anything to do with the candidates, and they are very high threshold keys, asking whether the incumbent party candidate or the challenging party candidate is one of those once-in-a-generation inspirational, charismatic candidates like Ronald Reagan in the 1980s or Barack Obama in 2008.
Your method, though, has been criticized, particularly for using candidates' charisma, as you mentioned there, as predictors. How do you measure a subjective thing like charisma?
It's not strictly subjective. When I first came up with the keys, I was blasted by the professional forecasting for using judgment in calling some of the keys. And I kept telling people, this is the human world. This is the social world. You have to use judgment. Historians use judgment all the time. It took about 10 years for the professional forecasters to realize the attempt to have purely cut and dried objective models don't work, and that the best models are those like the keys, which combine objective indicators like economic growth with judgmental indicators like charisma. I twice then keynoted the International Forecasting Summit, and the keys became the hottest thing in forecasting. It may sound subjective, but it isn't. First of all, there's a track record of the keys going all the way back to 1860. So you've got to judge whether you think someone is charismatic or not with how it's been answered for low these many years. Secondly, when you buy my book, Predicting the Next President, which just came out in its 2020 edition, I explain what I mean by charisma. And that is a candidate who stands out as this extraordinary, once-in-a-generation candidate with this broad, charismatic appeal. It's reflected in polling on the candidate. It's reflected in commentary on the candidate. And I stress, it has to be broad appeal. It can't be just to the strong partisans of that candidate. And I don't think there'd be any dispute about who these candidates have been. Theodore Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, John F. Kennedy, Ronald Reagan, Barack Obama in 2008.
We're talking with Alan Lichtman. He is a distinguished professor of history at American University. He developed 13 questions, as we're talking about, that guide his prediction to the outcome of a presidential election. You can join in. Have you made up your mind who you will vote for in November's presidential election? What determined who you will vote for? Join in at 800-642-1234. So, Alan, there's still roughly 3 months to go before the presidential election. Could circumstances change? Could these keys change ahead of November?
No. I mean, not likely, let me put it that way. I never categorically would say no. The keys are the big picture. They're not manipulable. They don't turn on who's up, who's down day to day in the campaign. You don't suddenly change the situation abroad, although it could change rapidly and usually negatively. The economy doesn't just change on a dime. Social unrest doesn't go away overnight. But there are two things outside the realm of the keys or any prediction system that do keep me awake at night. One is voter suppression. Donald Trump and his Republicans depend upon old white guys like me, the most shrinking part of the electorate. They can't manufacture more old white guys, but they can try to suppress the vote of the rising Democratic base of minority and young voters. That worries me. The other thing that worries me is Russian intervention. We know the Russians are coming back. They're already doing it. And they probably learned a lot in 4 years. And they even try to get into registration rolls. And we know that as in 2016, Donald Trump will welcome and exploit any Russian intervention on his behalf. Those two things are quite chilling.
Looking at Vice President Biden, there is anxious await of Biden to pick a running mate. How much could that change the dynamics of the race?
Not at all. There's no key for the vice presidency, and the vice presidency does not turn the race. I recall back in 1988 when George H.W. Bush picked the very lightly regarded Dan Quayle. The conventional wisdom was, oh, my God, this is going to sink his campaign. Of course, it had absolutely no effect on the campaign. When George W. Bush's son picked Dick Cheney, the conventional wisdom was, Oh my gosh, Cheney has no political clout. No one's ever heard of him. It made no difference. But let me say this. Substantively, the vice presidential pick can matter. You're dealing with someone who'll be 78 years old when he enters the White House. And, you know, you've got to have some worry that maybe the vice presidential pick could become the president.
American University distinguished history professor Alan Lichtman is our guide as he explains his prediction for the outcome of the November election and his method behind it. Based on his criteria, he is predicting President Trump will lose the election. What do you make of his prediction? What questions do you have about his formula? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Alan Lichtman here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking with American University history professor Alan Lichtman on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. 4 decades ago, Lichtman developed a presidential election prediction model that has accurately called presidential elections from President Reagan to President Trump. His method comes down to 13 questions, and he's made his prediction for November that Vice President Joe Biden will defeat President Trump. What do you make of his forecasting tool and the reasoning? Many of the polls predicted Hillary Clinton would win in 2016. Do you think the country will see another upset in November? It's 800-642-1234, and historian Ellen Lichtman stays with us for 10 more minutes. Let's take a call now. Christopher is joining us from Brookfield. Hi, Christopher. Hi, Christopher. Can you hear us? I think we're having trouble hearing Christopher. Christopher says, Ellen, Christopher plans to vote for Biden back in 2016. Trump and Hillary Clinton, Christopher says, were both popular and that thought they would be a one-term president. And President Trump is more unpopular now, Christopher thinks. Can you look at the changes that happened between 2016 and the present, Ellen?
Critical thing that differentiates Trump in 2016 from Trump now is Trump is the incumbent. This means Trump is running on his record. He had no record to defend in 2016. He could say whatever he wanted. It didn't matter. But he made a tremendous mistake as the incumbent president. I'm looking on my wall here in my study, and I have a note on my Washington Post prediction of Trump's win in 2016. It says, Professor, congrats, good call, and in big Sharpie letters, Donald J. Trump. He acknowledged my prediction, but he didn't understand the thesis behind the keys, which is that governing, not campaigning, counts. So when he was confronted with the big crises of 2020, the pandemic, the demands for social justice, instead of dealing with them substantively, he thought he could talk his way out of them. The result is the pandemic is raging, the economy is plunging, social unrest stalks the land, and these turned three keys against him.
I want to see if Christopher is there. Christopher, can you hear us?
Can you hear me at all?
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right.
What do you think of Ellen's response there about the change from 2016 and the present and how President Trump has handled these crises?
Yeah, it seemed a lot of people, a lot of voters were projecting what they wanted onto Trump, things that they believed that he stood for when he never really said he stood for anything. I've heard LGBT people say that, oh, he supports gay rights because he waved rainbow flag one time, but he never once really said that he did. And then the vice president he picked has a horrible record when it comes to the rights of gay and lesbian Americans. But this time around, you can't really project those ideas onto him anymore because he's had time in office and his actions speak louder than his words at times now. You can't hide behind words and a record that doesn't exist anymore.
Ellen, what do you see there in Christopher's words?
Well, he's exactly right. This is my point. It's governing, not campaigning, that counts. Trump is now running on his record, and he can't talk his way out of his record. No matter how many words he issues, it's not going to erase what's actually happening in the country, which is the basis of the voters' decision.
Let's bring in Mike now in Shell Lake. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Good. Go ahead.
I would like to say that I don't think Trump's record is the problem with the prediction that he's making out of Trump loss in the election. It's wishful thinking on the left. You're trying to run a candidate with clear dementia problems and actually quite racist in the past. So I don't think the record that you're talking about with Trump is nearly as bad as Biden's. That's my prediction.
All right, Mike. You know, Ellen, Mike sees this very differently about President Trump's record.
Well, you can see where Mike is coming from. I'm not making a prediction from the left. My predictions are purely impartial. I have called out of 9 elections, 4 Republicans, 5 Democrats. That is as even-handed as you can get. And as you can imagine, in 2016, I was not very popular in 90% plus Washington, D.C., where I teach, calling the election for Donald Trump. With all respect, the caller reflects the conventional wisdom that an election is between the two candidates, whereas the T's are based on a very different and successful proposition that the T's are that the elections turn on the evaluations of the record of the incumbent. Just comparing the two candidates, Hillary Clinton should have won in a landslide. She won all the debates. She was ahead on all of the issues. She was more experienced. Donald Trump was caught on tape bragging about sexual assault of women. You can't evaluate elections that way.
We're talking with Alan Lichtman, Distinguished Professor of History at American University. He is out with his prediction that Vice President Joe Biden will defeat President Trump in the November election. What do you want to know about his key questions? What insights do you have about the election? What are you thinking? 800-642-1234. Alan, you know, the polls in 2016, as you mentioned, showed Hillary Clinton as a strong favorite in the election. Should we be paying attention to polling?
No. I mean, I have nothing against the pollsters. They're friends of mine. They do their jobs well. But polls are misused. Polls are snapshots. They are not predictors. They're not designed to be predictors. They tell you where people say they stand at a given moment. That can change very rapidly over time. And how do you know whether things have changed? You take another poll and so on and so on. But polls are tethered to no reality. The other problem is you're not actually polling voters, so you have to estimate who the likely voters are, and that obviously introduces error. So when the pollsters say our margin of error is plus or minus 3 or 4 points, that's statistical error. That doesn't take into account error from misestimating likely voters or people not telling you the truth.
Let's bring in Jay now in Birchwood. Hi, Jay.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Just a quick comment and then a quick question. First of all, I hope the professor is dead on, but I think Trump has proven that conventional wisdom in lots of cases is thrown out the window. But my question is, how much weight has he taken with the social media and its effects on election? Because honestly, I don't think without social media, Trump wins the last election. In fact, I don't think he's close.
Jay, thank you. Alan, what is the impact of Twitter?
None on my system. Look, my system goes all the way back to 1860, when we didn't even have radio, much less television or online media. The mechanisms of campaigning and elections have changed fundamentally over the course of time when the keys have held. The keys are a very robust system. You know, every 4 years, I get the criticism, oh, your keys can't work now because something's changed. We have an African-American running. We never had that before. We have a woman running. Never had that before. We now have social media. Never had that before. And all that's correct, but the keys are not based upon those kinds of changes. They, again, are based on the big picture of incumbent strength and performance.
How do you expect the pandemic, the recession, the Black Lives Matter movement, how could that change politics going forward in our country?
Well, I hope it does. I think demands for racial justice need to be met. You're not going to solve racial justice in this country by sending federal law enforcement officers into the cities. That only fans the flames of discontent. It doesn't resolve them. And we saw in the pandemic, we need a greatly fortified federal government. We need a federal government that is very strong in public health. We need a president who is surrounded, not just surrounded by competent people, but who listens to competent people, who follows the science, and who deals with problems substantively and not just tries to talk
his way around and out of the problems. These are huge issues facing the country. But I would hope, just like the Great Depression was a catalyst for positive social change, these crises will be as well.
Alan, thank you for joining us.
It was my pleasure.
Alan Lichtman is a distinguished professor of history at American University. Coming up, we have the head of the Milwaukee Election Commission to find out how the city is preparing for Tuesday's primary. Will you vote in person Tuesday, or did you request an absentee ballot? What do you want to know about voting in Milwaukee? It's 800-642-1234. We'll talk about casting a ballot in Milwaukee after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.